Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and for the last 2 weeks of broadcast, we've been focusing on the topic of justification in Roman Catholic theology. The first week, we discussed the role of grace and works, while in the second week, we looked at how the sacraments relate to justification in Roman Catholic theology. This week, we'll continue to look at the same subject of justification, but we'll be focusing on how purgatory and indulgences relate to this topic. Let me first start by reading a quote from Carl Keating, who's a Roman Catholic apologist, from his book Catholicism and Fundamentalism. And I'm reading this quote to show you absolutely that the Roman Catholic Church does not teach salvation by grace through faith, but also adds the aspect of works. So from his own words, he says this: "For Catholics, salvation depends upon the state of the soul at death. Christ did his part, and now we have to cooperate by doing ours. If we are to pass through those gates, we have to be in a right spiritual state. The Church teaches that only souls which are objectively good and objectively pleasing to God merit heaven, and such souls are filled with sanctifying grace. As Catholics see it, anyone can achieve heaven and anyone can lose it." Let me stop there before I read on the rest of the quote. Twice is the aspect of earning heaven. He even uses the word that we merit heaven or we could achieve heaven. So it's definitely in contradiction to what Ephesians 2:8-9 clearly teaches, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And this is why I want to look at the subject of purgatory and indulgences, because they all relate to the idea of earning your way to heaven, somehow having enough good deeds or enough good works to cover one's sin so that they are in a spiritual state that's pleasing to God so they could enter into heaven. Let me continue to read the rest of the quote from Carl Keating. It says, "The apparent saint can throw away salvation at the last moment and end up no better off than the man who never did a good deed in his life. It all depends how one enters death, which is why dying is far one's most important act. Accepting Jesus has nothing to do with turning a spiritually dead soul into a live one with sanctifying grace. The soul that accepts Jesus remains the same, that is, dead. The Reformer saw justification as a mere legal act by which God declares a sinner to be meriting heaven. The Catholic Church, not surprisingly, understands justification differently. It sees it as a true eradication of sin and a true sanctification and renewal. The soul becomes objectively pleasing to God and so merits heaven. It merits heaven because now it is actually good. The Bible is quite clear that we are saved by faith. The Reformers were quite right in saying this, and to this extent they merely repeated the constant teaching of the Church. Where they erred in saying is that we are saved by faith alone." Two more times in this quote, Carl Keating actually uses the word merit again, once again, that we merit heaven. The Roman Catholic theology on justification is that God actually makes the soul or the individual pleasing or acceptable to him through sanctifying grace and through good works. And here where he says the soul becomes objectively pleasing to God, basically that is saying that man comes in a state where he is good enough to enter into heaven. And so it's based on faith in Christ and what he's done, but also on one's good works, if they are to enter into heaven. This is quite the contrast of the teaching of the New Testament and the apostles and Jesus Christ himself. Now, the reason I bring this out is because there is a lot of movements right now within the church to unify with the Catholic Church. I even read a document how Lutherans and Catholics came together, and it says that they agreed on the subject of justification. From the Catholic Church's own theology, that's impossible for the Lutheran Church, which teaches salvation by grace through faith alone, and the Catholic Church, which from its own words denies that very doctrine. Even in Carl Keating's words, he says, "The Catholic Church, not surprisingly, understands justification differently." And what I want to prove to you this week by looking at purgatory indulgences is that that is the teaching of Roman Catholic theology, that man is saved by grace and faith plus works, not by grace alone. And that's why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 is so important. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." We could take no glory or no credit for our salvation. It's all based on the grace of God. At this point, let's look at purgatory itself. The word purgatory itself is not found in the Bible, nor would I say even the concept of purgatory is not found in the Bible. The word purgatory comes from a Latin word, purgare, which means to cleanse. So the term purgatory comes from the word to make clean. And in Roman Catholic theology, it's a place where certain sins are cleansed by one's suffering. When a Catholic dies in an unperfected state, they must enter into purgatory and suffer for their remaining sins, sins which have been properly atoned for through penance, must endure suffering in purgatory until the soul is refined and God's justice is satisfied. The time and intensity of purgatory varies in relation to the sinfulness and lack of proper penance in life. This time can be shortened by gifts of money, prayers, and masses said on one's behalf. Even relatives can pay money to have masses said on a loved one's behalf to lessen this time. So what we have in essence is not only does the individual, after they die, go to a place of suffering and pay or atone for their sin until God's justice is satisfied, people that are alive can actually pay money, have certain prayers, do charitable deeds, even have masses said to shorten that person's time in purgatory. And as one reads the New Testament, this is completely foreign to any idea. This isn't even close to the teaching of the apostles in Jesus Christ. And it flat out contradicts the teaching of salvation by grace through faith. Once again today, I will be reading from Roman Catholic sources so that you don't think I'm saying this is what the Catholic Church teaches when they really don't. So let me start by reading from the Catholic Encyclopedia on page 502, which describes purgatory. It says this: the souls of those who have died in a state of grace suffer for a time purging that prepares them to enter heaven. The purpose of purgatory is to cleanse one of imperfections, venial sins, and faults, and to remit or do away with the temporal punishments due to mortal sins that have been forgiven in the sacrament of penance. It is an intermediate state in which the departed souls can atone for unforgiven sins before receiving their final rewards. Such purgatorial punishments may be relieved by the offerings of the living faithful, such as masses, prayers, alms, and other acts of piety and devotion. And in Roman Catholic theology, they make a difference between venial sins and mortal sins. A venial sin would be a lesser sin. A mortal sin would be a sin that is more severe. It's given the title mortal because it kills the soul or deprives it of sanctifying grace. So even after a Catholic would go to confession and do penance, do the good works imposed by the priest, they would still have to go to purgatory and suffer and atone for those sins. Let me read from another Catholic source entitled Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma by Ottz. As he describes purgatory, he says, the temporal punishment for sins are atoned for in the purifying fire of purgatory by the willing bearing of the expiatory punishments imposed by God. Also from a Catholic catechism by Hardin, he basically describes that no one can enter into heaven in a less than a perfect state. And that part I do agree with, but how that individual becomes perfect, that's what's debated here. I believe the Bible is clear that one receives that perfection of Christ through faith. As Romans chapter 4 says, the righteousness of God is imputed to us by faith, not by works. He describes purgatory this way: anyone less than perfect must first be purified before he can be admitted to heaven. Then he goes on to say, the person pays off the debt of venial or mortal sins, even if their guilt had already been forgiven through confession and the sacraments of penance. Let me read once again from the Council of Trent documents, which are basically one of the ultimate authorities that I could read from. In reading from Canon 30 on the aspect of the Mass and purgatory, it reads as follows. The Mass is a propitiatory sacrifice for the living and the dead, and the souls in purgatory helped by the suffrages of the faithful, but chiefly by the acceptable sacrifice of the altar. The reason I went through reading these sources is to show you that in Roman Catholic theology, man is not saved by the grace of God through faith. Basically, it's through the grace that's given through the sacraments, which we looked at last week, but then also, even after death, they have to atone for their sin through suffering to satisfy God's justice, to satisfy God's demands. And I believe this clearly shows that this is a theology that is based on salvation by faith plus works. Let me read from Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, where it's clear that Jesus Christ and his shed blood is the satisfaction for our sins, which says, whom God sent forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. The term propitiation means satisfaction or appeasement. God's anger and wrath towards sin was satisfied through the blood of Jesus Christ, not through man suffering in this life or through his good works or through suffering in a place called purgatory. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that brought 100% satisfaction to God, appeased his anger and wrath towards sin. God poured his wrath out upon Christ on the cross so that we don't have to receive that wrath. It has been paid in full. That's the good news of the gospel, so that we receive that by faith. And as we see the overwhelming goodness of God, we're able to enter into a relationship of peace with him, because we know that anger is satisfied now completely because what Jesus Christ has done. And not only has that anger been satisfied, also we have received the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith, as Romans chapter 4 clearly points out in verse 3, in using Abraham as an example, which says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness." So not only is God's anger toward sin completely satisfied, Christ completely atoned for it, but now also we have the imputed righteousness of Christ given to us at the moment of faith. That's why a believer, when they die, they could go right into the presence of God, because all of our sin has been paid for, as well as the aspect of the need for righteousness or perfection has been freely given to us. That's the good news of the gospel that we need to proclaim. In our study tomorrow, we'll look at the scriptures the Roman Catholic Church uses to justify purgatory and analyze those in light of context. And then later on in the week, we'll look at the aspect of indulgences and how that fits into their teaching on justification.